Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
All right, welcome back, guys, to Beers and Breakevens. Round one done and dusted. Heading into round two. We're flying into round two. Bringing in my 5'8". I've got 2 5'8"s here, but my long-term 5'8", Timmy Williams, what's doing?
Yeah, very good late save there, Roo. It's just it's good to have Supercoach back. You know, we talk about how incredible Craig Bellamy and the Melbourne Storm's round one record is going, what, something like 23 years straight without a round one loss. I've gone 23 years straight without being in the top 50,000 of Supercoach after round one.
Oh, that's good gear. I like that. Did you work on that in the car?
That just came to me, actually.
That's
on
good.
The spot,
I'll back
yeah.
that. Very good. Thanks. Top 57%. Kat, her dad, welcome in.
Oh, gosh. Do you know what? Ranked in the top 57% should not be a stat that is provided to someone. What is that? You are below average and you should be proud.
Yeah, no, she read that stat this morning and she was not happy with Supercoach.
What's funny, Kat, is that we've had the chat on the Playbook podcast many a time with the infamous Supercoach spy, and he is an absolute shocker for the back end of the season when he's had a bad year. He'd be like, and I'll go and I'll ask how everyone went this week and how they're ranked. And he'd be like, yeah, look, I'm in the top 8%. So going all right in that, which is the equivalent of going terrible. So in the back end of the year, that top percent, it'll actually be your friend and can actually, like, it looks good when you're top 10%, but realistically you're probably not when it comes to about round 25. So don't go too early on it.
Okay, fair. Yeah. Well, we are dealing with a top 57. So I've got a bit of wiggle room there, I think.
We're fiends as well on this show, Kat, for talking top 1,000 the entire year. Then we get to the last 5 weeks and we start to talk top 1%. We give ourselves an extra 600 spots. Yeah. I said top 1% a lot last year.
600 spot wiggle room.
Needed it. Definitely needed it. All right. Let's go through scores and ranks. Let's take some accountability. 868 for me, ranked 50,923. Timbo?
827, ranked 74,000.
Kathmandu.
816, ranked 80,911.
Oh, broke my rookie.
Yeah, I can honestly, I didn't expect to come in this morning not being the worst rank on the show, but I'll take it.
I'll tell you what, when you look at, like, I had a look to me when you posted your thing on Sunday night about what did you score on the weekend, and it's just a nice little reminder. I read through all of them, 900, 900, 900, 1,000, 900, 900, 1,000, 900, and I was going, holy fuck, I am in some Barney rubble here. And then came in here, you know, spoke to you guys, spoke to everyone else I know. And just a little reminder once again, the only people posting on social media are the ones that did well.
Yeah, yeah.
You're never as bad as you think.
There needs to be people posting their shit scores more, because that's what we really get around. And it makes everyone feel better as a result. Yeah. I did the same. Look, I'll be honest, and I don't want to sound like a cop-out because I had a bad week, so I'm making excuses. I don't really care about my round one score. My round two and three scores don't impact me that much either. It's about getting your team right and being happy with it, happy with your cheapies. How many problem areas do I have? And I'm pretty happy with it. But I went through and I'm in a bunch of different leagues with different content creators and like frequent top 1% finishes and whatnot. And I went through the scores and it was the same things, late 700s, early 800s, mid 800s. I'm like, okay, we're all in this together.
I think like another good thing to add on to what Tim said there, I'm the same. I don't give a fuck about round one. I want to be happy with my team. I'm not happy with my team. But I think very few people are.
Yeah.
As a whole, it is just rank out there. Like, man, I'm very lucky. I didn't start with Spencer Lino or Jai Arrow or Taumalolo. Some of the questions I'm getting from people this week, I'm just sitting there going, you poor bastards. This is awful.
Mate, I go through my side and first and foremost, you need to get cheapies right at the start of the season. And because it was a dumpster fire, those early, the cheapy scene, we've got a team this Tuesday shortly, but we've had some decent enough ones crop up. Really happy with, I spent up a little bit extra on players to avoid a few certain dodgy looking cheapies. So I'm really happy with them. Happy with the majority of my team. Front row forward is a disaster. 5'8", disaster. But 5'8"'s a disaster for everyone at the moment. Like, there's not a direction you could have gone, give or take maybe Brooks or Dearden, where you feel comfortable with your 5'8 position. So I'm like, you know what? I can handle that. So,
mate, I've got in the front row forward, I've got May, Hughes, and then I've got Willison and Fifita. Willison and Fifita aren't even in fucking first grade this week. And I think I'm in a better boat than most just because I started with May.
Yeah, I know.
Everyone's scrambling to get him now. I'm like, okay, that's one thing I avoided. Oh,
and what a big one.
Yeah.
Because I'm sitting here with Jason Taumalolo, and after his big 20-minute stint for the Cowboys, he'll be doing well if he can back up this week after that. He'll be sore. And then Keenan Palisea, who I was saying, had the combo with Ads DeRussi both last week and last night. I saw enough from Terrell May in Vegas to know that I really want him this week. Never in my life, and I hope I never have to do it again because of obviously the split round, had I put someone into my team knowing they were going to be leaving the next week.
Yeah.
Look, it didn't help that he then got benched before the game and played about 4 minutes, but what a crazy first week. And just to make it even more tapped, the cheapies last week were terrible. Teamless Tuesday week two was more interesting than round one, and then the cheapies have emerged. I'm like, gee, it's an interesting year.
Cheapies have emerged, but man, I reckon there's some traps out there. We'll get to them shortly. But let's fly into Teamless Tuesday, guys. We got Broncos South on Thursday night. Myself and T-Rex, we're going to be trucking nut with Hello Sport on the live stream there. So make sure you come and join us. That one's going to be a giggle. For the Broncos, Pierre Curran named, thank fuck. No Willison still. South Sydney, Gago holds his spot. Talis Duncan replaces Arrow on the edge. A very interesting one there. I'm hearing rumours that you could see Cam Murray shift out there and Duncan into the middle.
So come kickoff.
I'm not sure come kickoff, but I think throughout the game.
Yeah.
Which isn't a huge shock throughout the game, I don't think.
Well, I was thinking that Cam Murray may spend some time on the edge, but I would assume Duncan goes off because of the four middle bench. If Talis Duncan went, like what would the, I guess maybe to give one of them a little bit of a spell, but what's the point of shifting Duncan and Murray from middle to edge between each other? Like, I get it if Murray goes to an edge and another player comes on.
Oh, I hate it, just what I've been told, though. Yeah. I think it's fucking stupid, but that's what I've been told. I think the other thing to keep in mind with Talis Duncan, a lot of people have meshed me in the last 24 hours, very excited. Just keep in mind, Jacob Hoste isn't in this squad, so he's injured.
Oh, he's out entirely.
So, have we heard anything on that at all?
Because I haven't heard a thing on Jacob Hoste, but JD fucking loves that guy. And I think if he's available, there's every chance that he could come in and take.
Yeah, just watch this space.
Yeah.
Like, they're good enough mid-range 2RFs. Even like if they didn't perform outstandingly well on the weekend, they're still good enough ones that we shouldn't be panicking there.
Yes.
We get free looks at Talis Duncan and his minutes, and when Hoste is back in the squad, and then we can make a call them.
Yeah, the beauty of Talis Duncan is he didn't play last week, so you have got that extra look.
Yeah,
which you've got to take advantage of. Friday, 6 p.m., Sharkies.
Before that one, mate. The most, let me get it up. Okay, he's dropped down to number 6. When we started recording the playbook potty last night, Brendan McPierre was the second most traded out player in Supercoach. Can you believe that?
Honestly, I'm not wasting brain cells. Friday, Sharks, Dogs, 6 p.m. Sharkies, no changes there for the Dogs. Taff remains at fullback. Connor Tracy comes to the wing. Mate, are you assuming, I know you know people at Canterbury and might have done a show with them last night. Is there any chance Connor Tracy plays centre and Kyrgios plays wing here?
Doesn't sound like it.
Jesus.
Not from ads either. Just chatting around the grounds at the Dogs, and they seem, everyone seems to want Kiro's at centre. I don't know why.
Yeah, okay.
Like Tracy's played at and been terrific at centre as recently as last year. Probably he's played almost the majority of his NRL, could be fullback, I'm not sure, but Kiro's is so good on the wing, and they've got this obsession with playing him at centre.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Hutcho still at 7, Jamin Salmon at 13, Curran on the bench, which means he will come on and play front row forward. I repeat, Curran will come on and he will play front row forward. Sangster, if you don't get this sorted, you're going to wake up with a horse head next to you one morning, okay? Trust me on that. Curran needs dual position. Anything else on that game, mate, to really take in?
Oh, just that I want Josh Curran dual position.
Fucking tell me about it, Christ. Panthers v Eels, 8 p.m. from Bluebet for the Panthers. Kenny comes back in, Sorensen back, Garner to the bench. Sonny Luke holds. We've got my boy Liam Henry. I believe he's got a run in your stat sheet. We'll talk about him a little bit later.
He does. I thought you might get excited seeing that name drop.
Oh, boy. What about Sonny Luke holding on? Unbelievable.
What? Tyrone Peachy must be injured or something, is he?
Nah, played centre on the weekend. Scored well in New South Wales Cup. Bizarre. Can't work that out to fucking save myself.
What?
It's weird. Eels 1-17, still running with the 2-9s. Saturday games, Raiders Tigers, 3 p.m. from the nation's capital. Seb Chris returns, Hopewadi to the wing, Kotrick out. Ethan Strange remains as expected. Good to see. Smithy's a big tick of approval, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not in the deep dive, but I'll go into him now. He just delivered exactly what we expected.
Yeah.
Big minutes, massive work rate. He didn't bust a tackle or have an offload.
Exactly what we predicted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is going to be a great cash cow. If you don't own him, get him in. He may not score above 65 this year. He may not score below 55.
Yeah, he's going to be perfect. I love him. I'm obsessed. The Tigers. Now, Fatu Ape gets the start in the centres, which is great to see. I know I've had a few people mention me, do I go in this week? No, just sit back and watch. It's his first grade debut. Sit back and watch. And I think Galvin's the same. I'm not in a pickle with my 5'8". You've got Trindle.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are looking at Galvin, mate. With Aiden Caesar sitting on the bench, fuck, I reckon it's a punt.
If you, with an 18-year-old debuting for a lower-tier club in the competition based on recent years, by which I mean the last decade, it's one thing to bring an 18-year-old into the NRL if they do it in a good team, but to do it at the Tigers and what we've seen in recent years, if he can hold that spot, we're on to something special.
Yep.
Wait and watch him do it. I cannot wait to watch him play, but gee whiz, it's going to be tough going for him.
Yeah, it's a big ask.
Just wait. I'll be giving it 2 weeks. Beauty of the Tigers because of that round one bye. They're not going to be any price changes to these players until round four. Talk to us about Fatape, mate. I don't know. I've seen his name, obviously, around preseason trials, that sort of stuff, but don't know a lot about him. Obviously, Justin Olam is out injured.
Yeah. I don't think he's safe in that side. He's a good player. He comes from the Brisbane Tigers last year. We actually had a post on him during last year saying I'd love to see him get an opportunity. Fucking quick turnaround. Tigers sign him and he makes his first grade debut round one. Unreal. Very talented player. If I had to give him like a player comp, mate, he's a bit like Branko Lee. Very strong in contact. He's got a nice little offload. Ooh. Probably a little bit more dynamic than Branko, to be fair. But yeah, I really like him, but I think he's far from safe in that side, so I'd be looking elsewhere.
Do we know, I'm just looking up now, but what's the word with Olam?
Not sure. I'm not sure when he's due back, but it's not like long term, I don't think.
No, so. I hadn't seen anything that was even injured, so it can't be unless there's something new. Can't be anything too serious, so he could be in and out in no time.
Yeah. Alex Seafarth at 13, as we sort of expected, a lot of talk about him preseason. I'm happy to sit and watch him over the next few weeks, but I think I prefer my options I've got in the 2RF at the moment.
Yeah, what, 326K, 2RF only. Let's have a look at him. Let's have a look at minutes. No thanks. Yeah. When I say no thanks, if he comes out and plays 65 minutes plus, we'll talk. But I want to see that for minimum 2 weeks.
Yeah, I just think that if the Tigers don't go well early as well, he could be one of the early changes. But yeah, we'll watch him over the next few weeks. Aiden Caesar in jersey 14, as we said. 5:30 game, Cows, Knights, Cowboys 1-17. I guess the big watch here to me is just the minutes of everyone. I'm not a Tau Malolo owner. I'm not a Ruben Cotter owner. But I'll tell you what, if I was, I would be just be patient with this because I think the minutes – that can't be the fucking rotation we're going to see. I refuse to believe that.
It's – what the hell? Tau Malolo on the weekend watching it, and he played his 20-minute stint, went off early. I'm like, oh, he's gone off pretty early. I'm like, that's right, he must have a big second stint incoming. Still waiting, Todd. He's not back on yet. But yeah, the reality is there must be some sort of niggling injuries going on. The fact that they were out to that big early lead, they didn't want to, not so much risk him, but felt no need to put him back on the field. They probably saw it as a great opportunity to get minutes into Sam McIntyre, a player that I know people are very keen on. He played 45 or 46 minutes, but even Cotter, who played, it might have been about 52 minutes.
51, you idiot.
Oh, God. Cotter, I still believe he's going to be the biggest beneficiary of, you know, Cohen Hess being injured, Luciano Leilua going. Why playing bigger minutes in a game like that where they had the big lead? So, as you said, be patient on all of them. Tau Malolo, look, he's a huge concern just because you want to see him this week. But when it's such an obvious sideways move over to Terrell May, if he's your ticket to him, it's just weird. So, yeah, look, I'll try and give him one more week if I can, but, God, I feel horrible about it.
Yeah, I'll give it one more week. I just refuse to believe that it's going to be a week-to-week thing that Sam McIntyre is going to play 50 minutes off the bench and Jake Granville is going to play 42 minutes off the bench. It's just wild. But I think this is something you need to be aware of with Jason Tau Malolo, realistically, that if they are up in games, which – by the way, they looked on the weekend, they might be up in the next 27 fucking games. Tau Malolo could get a spell.
I think that's my bigger concern off the back of that. I'm going like, look, his regular minutes might still be 40 to 45, hopefully 50, and he can still score okay in that time based on his price, but if they're going to rest him early in round one, that could happen at any time.
Yeah, for sure. Newcastle Knights, Tommy Jenkins comes in to make his Newcastle Knights debut, replacing Tuala. Kai Pierce-Paul on the left edge. Boy. Oh, daddy. I believe Kai Pierce-Paul is going to play decent minutes there as well, but I don't think he doesn't have that spot locked in over Dylan Lucas or whatever. So we'll talk about him soon, Timbo, but I'm seriously looking at him as a little pod play. He's a little bit cheaper. Cartwright's coming off the bench. I know people are worried about Cartwright. I think that with Jack Cogger on the bench there, I think the Knights don't have a choice but to play Cartwright through the middle, where I think they're going to get the shit beat out of them just by eyeballing how the Knights looked last week and how the Cowboys looked last week.
Yeah. Tamalolo's going to steamroll those poor buggers.
It's going to be a big 15 minutes. Anything to touch on in that game, mate?
No, we'll get to KPP shortly.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, if you are a Kalen Ponga or a Greg Marcio owner, fuck it, man, KPP jumping on that edge just with the sheer size of him. If you have a look at that, we spoke about it on Bloke on Monday, that try that Jackson Hastings scored – shout out to Jacko, friend of the show, but slow as a wet week over 10 metres. And sorry, this is Jackson's words, not mine. You look at just your mate, Zach Hosking, when he was defending on Kai Pierce-Paul, he just couldn't take his fucking eyes off him. I reckon it's going to make so much space for those boys out
Hosking,
the back.
Noted good defender as well.
Mad defender. Like, Hosking also tough. His nickname's The Mule. He's tough as fucking nails. And even he was looking at this kid from England going, oh, my God, what am I going to do here? So, yeah, very exciting. I can't wait to watch that.
The other thing, it's a good point on KP, just the 1P, and Marju. You know, if Pierce-Paul comes and makes a fist this spot and is as destructive as we're sort of anticipating – as you said, running off Kalen Ponga, how often do we say probably the best back row spot in the competition is to be that left edge, running off KP and Hastings. Marju out the back, but Ponga links up so well, gets the space, puts his back row even half through, and they chop him around the legs, and they turn around and pop that offload to KP, who backs up.
Yeah.
And he just goes sizzling through. He did it so many times with Fitzgibbon last year. Pierce-Paul, who looks like an offloading machine. It's exciting, isn't it?
Well, you're going to need the entire edge to tackle Kai Pierce-Paul's right leg, so best of luck to him. Storm and the Warriors, 7:35 at Amy Park for the Storm. No Munster still. That does not look good. Sean Bloor still on the extended. Chan holds onto his spot. Melbourne off the back of that game last week, mate. I think it's just a a wait and see, just watch and see what happens there, right?
Yeah, it absolutely is. How about Chan? Shout out to Chan. Played big minute or big enough minutes for us. 65, 80 would be great. 24 points. Do you know what he had 18 in base.
Yeah, it's pretty rare.
I don't know how that's possible.
Yep.
There's someone that we'll also get to shortly who can possibly match him, but that's remarkable.
Yeah. If he can't do it, no one can. For the Warriors, Egan has been named after another injury last week. Kate will named as well. We thought we might get a Laban debut here, but Kate will has been named there. Anything else on the Wars, mate?
No, nothing.
I think it's pretty up and down, isn't it? Yeah,
pretty straightforward.
Sunday afternoon, myself, Timmy, Hamiso and Kempe, the guy that played on the wing for the Broncos. We're going to be up at KO Stadium. We're going to be on KO live. I believe it's at about 2 o'clock.
I think it's 2:45 to 3:45 New South Wales time.
That sounds better. Yes, I think it's around about that time. So stay tuned for that. We're going to do it a live show. We're going to have two State of Origin players on there that we're going to be interviewing. We can't announce who they are. Two players, four heads. They're Queenslanders, which is very disappointing, but we'll deal with it.
I'll give them a hint. Savored Dag.
Big fan.
I wish.
After that, we've got the Roosters taking on the Manly Seagulls coming here from Brookvale Oval. Don't know why I said Roosters first. It's a Manly home game, Brookvale Oval. Manly, Tommy Talau comes in on the sting. Jackson Paulo there. Schuster in Reggie's one to watch. I selfishly just want Burbo to hold that spot for eternity.
As someone who only cares about Supercoach, I hope Schuster doesn't play well. And you know what? He'll start playing well in 2 months' time and we'll trade to Burbo out for 800K.
Schuster feels like the iron fucking shoe from above of Supercoach coming to kick us in the dick over the next week or so.
I know. 40% of Supercoaches did not own Ben Trbojevic last week. Obviously a very popular trade in this week off the back of it. With Schuster playing New South Wales Cup, like, not saying Ben Trbojevic is a bad trade-in, but you've got a week to have a look before a price change. Just in case Schuster comes in and starts round three, would you wait or would you be happy to get him now?
First of all, the 60% of those people, please pen me a letter and let me know what the fuck you were thinking. I'm very interested. But I think I would wait. You've got unless your team, as you said before, is a dumpster fire and you need to sort out other shit.
And that's your ticket to cash.
Yeah. But yeah, like I mean, mate, if you went a gun that you don't like or you're not happy with off the back of last week and you can downgrade to Burbo and free up cash, as you said, sure.
Yeah.
But I can't believe people started without Burbo. That's wild.
Yeah, and you know what? There's every chance he still starts next. Like, it'd be a surprise to see Schuster, even if he kills it, come in and start next week. So Burbo's still going to be that buy next week. So you know what?
It's probably watching the Manly captain run over there in Vegas, they took a number of guys with them that were injured. They took a number of young guys like Lehi Hopewada and these sort of guys. Schuster didn't even get a bait to go over there. I think he's a while off, personally.
Yeah.
I think you're pretty safe with Burbo.
Yeah, all right, bye.
Roosters, Dom Young on the sting. No Billy Smith yet. JWH returns. Obviously, Spencer Lenu out for the next 8 weeks. Wong and Satili named. Both are under injury clouds. Spencer Lenu out for 8 weeks. JWH comes in. I reckon that's even better for our boy, Terrell May. I love that.
Yeah. Rory Hargreaves is an aging middle forward. He's not going to play huge minutes. So I think it's perfect as well. We'll get statistically to Terrell May soon. Mate, talk to us about anything that we can gauge on this because Wong and Tupanua, at their prices, if they're 80-minute edgeback rowers, if they can get that gig, they're still terrific buys. I'm pretty sure you live in Wong's granny flat, so you should have a bit of an inside scoop on that.
Mate, honestly, your guess is as good as mine. Same as everyone. It just depends what Robbo does, depends what in-game injuries they have, all that sort of stuff. I mean, it looked to me like Wong came off in the 30th minute in Vegas.
He did, yeah.
He did, so I would read into that as the plan. I think he's the best second rower at the club.
60 to 65 minutes looks to go. Tupanua played the first 40, then was injured, but we know he can spend time in the middle.
Nat Butcher coming off the bench was probably their best two-hour for last year. I don't know. I've got Wong and I'm very happy to hold him for the year because I think at some point he'll fucking explode.
You're laughing. And at his price, If you play 60, he probably, I think, holds value with potential to go up some cash.
Yeah.
An extra 5 to 65, I think he makes some cash. If he lands in an 80-minute spot, he's making big cash.
Yeah, big money there. Dolphins, Dragons, 6:15 p.m. coming in from KO Stadium. Wayne Bennett doesn't miss the old fella. Jake Avrilo at center, Tessie New out. I'm sure Tessie would have been shocked with that. Katoa named at 7. Sean O'Sullivan on the extended. Aitken comes into the side. Lemuelu jumps out. I'll tell you what I'm super excited about. To me, Maxi Plath at 13. I fucking love this kid.
You're a Plath man.
I'm a Plath. He is tough as nails. And I was looking at him in my Supercoach draft comp last night. I went back and had a look at some highlights of him growing up. I cannot find a single highlight anywhere of him playing lock. He's been a halfback and 5'8 all the way coming through, and now he looks like the toughest motherfucker I've ever seen.
Right.
I love this kid.
That's exciting. He's got me G'd.
There's games from like a year ago of him kicking field goals in extra time to win games and shit. It's wild. The only thing I don't like for Max Plath is that you've got the four forward bench, but I'll tell you what, if you're a Jeremy Marshall King owner, how fucking good. Flying.
Yeah, amazing. And especially with...
if they can start to play some footy.
Yeah, that's a big factor. And Ray Stone, obviously, like... I mean, definitely don't go early on Plath because Ray Stone's HIA'd. Lemuelu, he's about a month, I think, so that helps. But the fact that Aitken's come in, Kenny Bromwich is obviously going to play through the middle this year, as it looks, but available only at 5'8", Max Blath.
Yeah, he's just one to keep an eye on over the next few weeks, I think. For the Dragons, Laurie returns in the front row. Eisenhuth shifts to the edge, potentially shooting for rugby league immortality, Eisenhuth, after last week. JDB back into the 13. Raymond Faitala-Mariner returns to the bench and Luciano Leilua on the bench. I'll tell you what, a lot of these Dragons, especially Eisenhuth, very, very appealing. I just want to sit and watch this week because I'm just not quite sure how this whole rotation works. You've still got Harm Saleh sitting on the extended as well, mate. You'd have to think that he comes in at some point. So I just want to watch how it all plays out.
Mate, I'm not really getting the hype. Like, Faitala-Mariner,
RFM, I'm not interested in.
He's the fourth most traded in player this week.
Yeah, that's wild.
363K in 2RF. He's now off the bench. Luciano Leilua could be starting as soon as this week. You mentioned Harm Saleh to come back in. We also like Tommy Eisenhuth, what he's been named on at 11. So like, it wouldn't shock me to see Leilua start on the edge. Maybe not this week, but possibly by next week. I want to see it all happen again. I want to see the Dragons play well again. I want to see the minutes again with Luciano there. Not keen on any. Maybe next week, but...
oh, I'm interested in Eisenhuth. He's the one I'm interested in, but I want to watch them once again. I think, yeah.
What's your hope there? Is it that Luciano comes on as a middle and Eisenhuth plays big edge minutes?
Honestly, I would rather them just shove Eisenhuth in the middle. I think that's where he gets through a lot of fucking base work.
Mm.
It didn't shock me at all that we got to round one and Flanagan went, fuck it, I'm going to play Jack DeBellin in the front row. I reckon that'll happen a little bit this season.
Yeah. 59 in 60 minutes, Tommy Eisenhuth last week. 51 in base. But yeah, just want to see those minutes. Don't go early. Just want to see the minutes with Leilua.
Tommy Eisenhuth just feels like a Flanagan player to me too.
Yeah.
No bullshit. He's just going to do a job every single week for you. So, but yeah, sit and watch that one. Would see how it plays out.
You'd have to put him in nut trucker category, wouldn't you?
Oh, without a fucking doubt. My God, have you seen his head? He was born with a nut tracker cap on his melon. Okay. Blue Wealth Property guys, Thursday the 21st of March, Wealth Through Property live on the cat, live on the
webinar.
Thank you. 7 p.m. kickoff. Learn all you need to know about creating wealth through property. Wednesday, the 3rd of April, buying a property through your super. Once again, a webinar. Learn about how many Aussies are starting to invest in property via their super.
Interesting.
Yeah. I assume that's an autocorrect. It's meant to say learn about how many Aussies are starting to invest in property via their super coach, right?
Via their super coach.
It must be. Surely.
If you've got the right cash generation and the
right money.
What
are you going to buy with your Taumalolo? Pine of Coke. Hold the Coke.
I'm going to buy a shack with no power in Bunyan about 10 minutes outside Cooma.
Couple of red frogs. Wednesday, 1st of May, how to pay off your mortgage with an investment property. That one's live in Sydney Olympic Park and via webinar. My God, the webinar, it's doing overs. 6:30 p.m. in the room and 7 p.m. online. There's a 30-minute time slot there for Tony to tell you about his front row forward troubles in his super coach team. Got a mortgage. Learn how an investment property can help you pay it off quicker. Something your mum and dad didn't tell you about because they didn't know.
Jeez.
Wow.
You've just got me thinking about if Tony started with Farmer Steely and Sam Hughes, his starting front rowers.
If. Good God. How good. Guys, the link for Blue Wealth Property, it is down below. We'll put those three events. There's a separate link for all of them, so we'll have all of them in the description down there. That's a copy and paste job for you, Kathmandu, which I've got for you.
All over.
Brace yourself. How good's Blue Wealth Property, Timbo?
Mate, looked after us for a number of years. Legends of Fellas, Bulldogs Immortality among the group. And, yeah, on top of all that, bloody good at what they do.
Very good at what they do.
Do you know what? I've found myself talking about rent vesting a lot. I'm not going to lie to you. I brought it up multiple times. I'm acting as though I myself have made the decision to rent vest, which by the end of the season I may well be doing. But, yeah, it's huge. It's such a big talking point.
I'm same as you, Kat. I've told that many people about rent vesting. I just feel like the sharpest tool in the shed, which we all know I'm not. But I'm all around the rent vesting chat.
Huge. Well, Kat's only 56.999% away from winning 56K at the end of the year and being ready to rent vest.
Yeah. Absolutely. That would beef up my deposit a little bit. I might have to work a little harder.
All right. Tim's stat, deep dive. Take us away. Who we got?
All right, we're starting at the big boy, the most traded in play this week. Pains me to do it because you started with him, Terrell May. And, you know, it's just a minor little mid-range front row forward, cheapish mid-range front row slot. You know, you think it wouldn't have many implications. God, I wish I started with Terrell May. Look, he did come on, I think, the 26th minute in Vegas and there's going to be some concerns over minutes, and I know you've sort of said that he doesn't need to be playing big minutes for you to score well, and I agree, I don't think he does, but there were numerous injuries in that game in Vegas, so he came on and didn't leave the field and played 54 minutes straight. Numbers-wise, though, mate, 21 tackles, 3 offloads, 17 runs. He's just a goer.
17 runs, what a motherfucker. He's
like,
unreal.
If you saw that, it didn't look like he broke a sweat.
Nope.
So you see that at 430K. Look, if you, as you said, you know, you get heaps wrong on the odd blue moon occasion, you jag something. If he gets 45 minutes with his ability, I don't see him getting less. I don't think it'll matter.
Mate, he's the alpha in this side.
Yeah.
He is the proper alpha. There's better front row forwards in this side, Lindsay Collins, JWH, but he has just got that bit of see you next Tuesday in him. He's the guy. Let's call it as it is.
Yeah. And look, if he was priced at 650K, I would be concerned about him getting 40 to 45 minutes. But at 430K, when no one has any good mid-range front rowers, he just looks a great bet to me.
Yeah, I wish someone tipped you off in January. Let's talk about his brother, Taylan May.
Taylan May. Holy moly.
Tipped you off in January about this too.
Yeah. Oh, please. He was in my team before he debuted in the NRL, mate. Taylan May, do have Taylan May. The only reason I didn't get bloody Terrell is because freaking Spencer Lenu got picked to start over him. How well has that worked out? I didn't pick Spencer Lenu, thank God. Taylan May, 458K. Oh, man, wasn't he just – you talk about being happy with your round one team, not too many sort of fires to put out, and Taylan May and the bloke that we'll get to after Taylan May – 67 points, okay, very solid at his price. 17 tackles, 9 tackle breaks, an offload, 13 runs, playing centre, and eye test just looked like a beast. Coming back from an ACL injury, obviously suffered it pre-season last year, long time ago. Get him in.
In the potentially greatest team we've ever seen in their potentially worst game.
Yeah.
That's called zero.
Yeah, zero. He had a try or a try assist Disley. I don't think it was a try, was it? Like a try and a line break from memory?
I think so, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he, like if you don't own him, sort yourself out.
Yeah, and he might not be the player he was before he left after the injury. Sure, but he's going to be a bloody good player. You can already see it.
And at 458K, I don't really care what he does.
Thanks
he
for coming. Roger, Tui, Vasa, Sheck.
Was watching the game and got on him relatively late in the preseason, found some funds, 46 points. They went, unsurprisingly, a lot to their right, their dominant right edge in attacking sets. Didn't surprise me, was a bit of a concern. Go through it. 10 tackles, 4 tackle breaks. That could be his lowest tackle breaks all season. An offload, 18 runs.
Yeah.
No attacking stats. Mate, that's good going.
Mate, I reckon they're at about $3 against Melbourne on this week. I think we were both on. I reckon they win that.
Crazy value.
Wild, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm a very happy Roger owner. I wasn't thrilled to see it play out just the amount of times they went to the right in attack. As I said, it's one of the best attacking edges in the comp. It didn't surprise me. Regardless, with Roger's base, with Roger's power, the fact that some attacking stats at the least will come is a good thing, I reckon.
Yep, I agree. You got Levi versus Lustig here. Danny Levi being my hooker, my saviour.
I thought you were nothing.
Oh, mate, I was going to go Somerton. Then when Sonny Luke was named, I was like, well, fuck, that makes it tough. So I went in a different direction. I'm happy to wear that one. I'll be completely honest with you. We spoke about Danny Levi last week. I thought he was 328K, not 238K. So once I realised that, I was like, once I got through the Vegas haze and got some sleep, I was like, this probably makes sense. I will say this, though. Might have been better off nothing because Danny Levi scored a try to save his fucking score, but my God, he looked awful.
Oh, from a Supercoach perspective, for sure. I mean, like, he is what he is as an NRL player. He goes out there and tackles and doesn't run and has no real sort of work ethic. That's why I'm not convinced on him as a starting NRL number 9. But it's exactly what you expected. I was just happy to see the minutes. When he scored, like, I wasn't playing him, and I will never play him in my starting team, barring injury and just diabolical situations. When he scored that try, I was so, you know, part of me wants Yuru to do well in Supercoach, you know, just for the credibility of the show. The other part of me is like, screw you, I want to beat you. And when I thought you nuffed at hook and then Levi scored his try and all that and he played big minutes and then he said, no, I've got him. I'm like, oh, of course you do. but when he scored that try, I'm like, if he can just pull the odd attacking stat out of his butt with sort of 50 to 60 minutes of game time over the next 4 or 5 weeks, if he can make 80 to 100K and just plug that hole and make a bit of cash, it'll be job done.
Yeah.
In terms of his stats, where are they here? So, yeah, 238K, 56 minutes, 20 in base in the middle of the field. How do more tackles not come to you in that time?
Yeah, it's wild.
Even if you don't run, I'm like, I don't – like at least when we were speaking about Chan before, he's on the edge and you can – at times, you have to go looking for work a little bit, potentially. It comes to you when you're in the middle. Terrifying.
Yeah, wild. Mate, the other name you got there is Lussick. He was one of the guys that impressed me the most this weekend. I thought he was, like, just NRL-wise, he was fantastic. Mm. He scored well in Supercoach. If you did go, mate, I spent all off-season saying he's fucking mad for wanting to play these guys for 80 minutes. I walked away from that game on the weekend going, fuck, is he mad for keeping Brendan Hands on the fucking bench?
I know, he looked all right last week, didn't
he? Great.
313K, 61 points. There was a trot. Very similar output to Danny Levi. Mm. Looked a bit better.
Yeah.
Bit harsh on Danny Levi. It was a very, very nice try, straight through the guts. It was good. Poor defending. But last week, 61 points, a try assist and a line break assist. But he got 63 minutes. In that time, though, he had 31 in base. So borderline better. I suppose the question is, looking at those players, off the back of great round one results in actual NRL for the clubs, etc., you look at the 80-odd K price difference. I wouldn't be jumping on either of them this week, but there's going to be people struggling at hooker who have gone in the wrong direction. Leaning towards Lussick or Levi?
Sonny Luke. I couldn't hold a straight face. I couldn't do it.
Oh, God.
Can you believe he scored 62 points?
Oh.
After the last – he didn't score 62 last season. Mm. He scored 62 on the weekend. I thought he looked bang average as well. Yeah. Crazy.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
If you had to go one of these two, I'd go with Lussick, mate. I don't have him and I'm filthy, but I'd probably lean towards Lussick.
Oh, I don't have him. I have Levi, and because it's freed up an extra 80K, I'm not filthy at all. And I think he's pretty locked into at least sort of 50 minutes. I don't really know what's going to happen with Lussick going forward.
So who's your hookers? Robson and?
Levi.
Oh, you went Levi. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I was always going Levi. Side note on Robson, legend.
Yeah. We'll see about that.
He just needs to get me through to round five, then I'll move to Harry Grant. Happy days. But yeah, that it.
Okay. Anyone else on your... Oh, Liam Henry, the man with two first names. Talk to me.
Yeah, well, the big one was just the team name. So the concern was obviously going to be when Scotty Sorensen comes back in, how that was going to impact this bench and what they went with. 36 points in 34 minutes. You gave him a nice wrap in the preseason. 25 tackles, 8 runs.
Yep.
That was it. Literally no tackle bus, no offloads, no anything. But the way the team's been named, mate, his dirt cheap, I think he's 238K. Not that you'd go near him this week, but with Sonny Luke on the bench, I mean, Sonny Luke could come on at 9, maybe Mitch Kenny spend some time in the middle. Luke Garner could potentially play through the middle a little bit. I don't know if he spells Martin or Sorensen on the edge. Smith is a middle. Could be some half-right minutes for Henry.
Yeah, mate, I was speaking about in the preseason. Comes from the great Blaney Bears, Liam Henry. I reckon he's going to be a real star in the future. He's a guy that I would early tip to play Origin one day. I reckon he's going to go real good.
Mate, he could be at 238K. When we see the minutes play out this week, he could be a little, put it this way. I would be stunned if anyone out there is happy with all four of their front rowers.
Yeah.
And I reckon a lot would have, whether it's Farmer Sealy or Mariota, whoever it might be, no one is going to be happy with all of them. So it could be a little trade next week, potentially. Is there anyone due back middles for the Panthers? I think they're pretty well full strength, hey? Or like in the pack?
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, so...
might be an option.
Yeah.
Liam Henry, by the way, his nickname is Horse. That's the most intimidating thing I've ever
heard. Love that.
Love that. Okay, stats deep dive done and dusted. Mate, let's just have a quick chat because all the questions this week have been about do we trade. I am big on the side of if you can avoid trading this week, avoid it. I think that, you know, we look at your Val Holmeses, we look at your Laybutts, these guys, they score hundreds, it's super impressive, we've got to get them. It's week one, it's a 3-game rolling average, it's going to be in the rolling average for one fucking week. If Laybutt scores 45 the next 3 weeks in a row, he's not making any money.
What if he scores 30 next week?
Exactly right, which is more than possible.
Yeah.
Like 30 for a rookie centre is good.
I mentioned last night, mate, I cannot emphasize enough the impact of one game sample sizes and why they mean next to nothing.
Yeah.
We learned a lot from last weekend, but we didn't learn everything. And every year there's these traps emerge. Not saying Laybutt's a trap, but we do get a free look at him again. The difference, and I mentioned it on the potty last night, if roles are better than you've seen, and like there's a game where you're looking at a forward's minutes, and there's no injuries to the park or no injuries in the game and everything's played out as planned and a forward's going and played extra minutes. That's where you go, okay, this bloke's gotten a better role. Maybe we can do that or et cetera, et cetera. Maybe you have an outside back and they've started roaming. You go, okay, they've got a good role. But it's one game.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? Mm. So obviously when you're talking about just upgrading a player, boosting a position, you're saying it's very early to be doing that. If you've got a player like Lemieux, for example, you know they're out for the next 8 weeks. Is that a change this week, or are you saying that you can roll that into next week and kind of look at the performance of other players a little bit longer because you're not going to lose any money on him? Is that what you're saying?
Completely different for that one. If it's someone like Lenny who's suspended, get rid of them.
Yeah.
It's basically don't – like you've picked all these players for a reason with months of analysis and study and all that in the preseason. So you just back them in. Like give them a second game to bounce back. But if it's someone like Lenu who you know is going to miss 8 weeks, get rid of them. And to Guru's point, like I think the last 2 years I haven't traded in round two, but I've been really happy with my team. There's been no sort of fires to put out. I've got a terrible front row. So I am going to be trading this week because I've got work to do there. It's a luxury not to trade in round two, but people panic and go, I need to fix this, I need to fix this. Oh, I don't have this guy. Why don't I? It's one game. I think round three is a really good time to boost before we get these first price changes, when we get a two-game sample size, a bit more perspective on regular roles and minutes and all these sorts of things. So, look, I will be trading this week because of my front row situation, but if I can get away with one, I will. There's a few things to play out. Next week, every chance I'll be boosting.
Yep, completely agree. I think if you're one of those very unlucky people that had Jai Arrow and Spencer Lanier, though, you have to trade this week.
Yeah.
You have to.
There were 100%. A lot of questions about that. So yeah, I think there's a lot of people out there with both or at least one of them. So the advice there is trade those players out.
Yeah, sweet. All right, captains.
Got a good one here for you, Rui. You're going to like this.
Yep, shoot.
So VC will be, for me, Nicho Hynes.
Yep.
If he can go big against the Doggies, doesn't have to be huge, maybe like 110, 120 plus. I've got Palacia in the front row.
Yep.
I'll potentially bite the bullet and go Taumalolo straight to Terrell May. I can't quite go Palacia straight to Terrell May, which burns me. But, yeah, I can VC loop, just play Palacia, cop the AE of 15 or whatever it might be.
Yep.
And get away, but save one trade this week. Again, Nicho has to go well, but that's what I'm looking at in terms of a sneaky VC.
Yep, fucking sucks for me that Sam Hughes is in that same game. I'm not sure if I'll be able to VC loop unless I take Terrell May out, which I probably won't. I guess I could take him out and reserve him though. No, I could still make it work. I'm leaning towards Nicho Hynes VC, and mate, shout out to all the people that gave me shit on social media on last Friday, Thursday night about Kalen Ponga scoring 50. How'd your captain go, dickheads? Fucking all very quiet on the Western Front after that, just quietly.
Wasn't that good?
There's
some bloke out there who abused you who also captained Latrell Mitchell for 110. He's going, this bloke.
Fucking, mate, the amount of shit I copped after that Kalen Ponga game.
Didn't that just
then everyone lost their phone for the rest of the weekend. Weird. Yeah. Shock me.
Isn't that just the best example of round one Supercoach where Ponga, most popular captain, I assume, 50 points, pitchforks are out. The next two most popular, Nicho Hynes, Nathan Cleary, 26 and 36. It's just like, that is round one. I can't remember the last time round one was good Supercoach scoring.
Yeah, it is what it is.
We literally said the entire preseason, particularly talking about attacking players, defences are better, attacks are clunky, the points don't flow. It just doesn't never happen.
Yeah, the best one was the Cowboys scored fucking 1,000 points. Drinkwater gets outscored by Chad.
Oh my God.
Unbelievable. So I'm leaning towards Hynes as a VC. I'm looking at doubling down on KP as captain.
Like it. The Knights are going to bounce back. They have to.
Yep.
Because they were so bad in round one. They get a 5:30 game in Townsville. If it's dry, like probably expect it to be, great surface. There could be another 60 points in that game.
Yeah.
Ponga, he looked great. He didn't get very good ball at all. I don't know why, but he also had that incredible try assist which just got pulled back. That would have been turned into 70-75.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm thinking Sir Thomas Trbojevic.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
I dislike the opposition in the Roosters, a good defensive outfit. I just loved everything I saw from Tommy Turbo in Vegas.
Yeah, no, that's very fair. He looked unreal. Mate, as I said last week, being at that captain's run, I had drink water at that point. I watched Turbo just jogging around, how confident he looked, and just went, no, I got to have him. Mm. He looks sensational at the moment. So it's a very, very good shout, Tommy Turbo. I'm very nervous about not having him. Mate, I think the other one that's worth a shout, Zach Lomax against the Finn. I'm expecting the Dragons to hold their form early in the season at least. Not really him out for the rest of the year, but I think they hold form early. Lomax just looks like he's fucking everywhere. Jack Bird has removed the glue from his hands. They kick to him on every last tackle. Juicy.
Can't believe I didn't have him in my stat deep dive. 24 runs, 10 tackle busts, 39 in base, goal kicking, soft draw. Are you tempted?
Oh, very tempted. Very tempted. But I just don't know how money-wise I can get there.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot to deal with.
I think people with – and again, I want to see him do it again. I want to see the Dragons do it again, let's be fair. Anyone with an underperforming gun, let's say like if Kiraz goes poor this week, it'll be an easy little sort of sideways move. But if you know, a lot of people paid up for sort of one premium CT dub. If that person is going well, it's hard to get in, but – seriously, with numbers like that.
Yeah, it's hard to deny. And he just looked, mate, like you got to remember as well with that score, he lost about 8 points because they kicked to him and he'd drop it in the air. He'll swallow some of those over the next few weeks. Like he'll have games where he gets three opportunities and he catches three and it's an extra 70 points. Yeah. It's scary what Lomax's doing. Very, very impressive. Okay, so you're going Hines, Turbo as it stands right now.
Yeah, I don't think it'll change either. And if Hines can go one, probably 10, 120 plus, and I can loot, it'll probably save me a trade this week. So come on, Nico.
Yeah, fair shout. Okay, trades this week. I am planning on just sitting on my hands. I don't think I'm going to make any. What are you leaning towards right now?
Depend on Nico a little bit, but Terrell May, you think I should bite the bullet on him? Don't really care about the minutes rotation too much. I need to fix that. It'll just depend, whether I can do it for Taumalolo. I can do it straight for Taumalolo if needed, which would be easy. If I do it with Palacia, I need to find 20K elsewhere to make that happen. There's a few options that I can downgrade. I like Tommy Taliau on the wing for Manly because Saab's out for 6 weeks. Mm. The job security's good. He's dirt cheap. He's like 280K or something, landing one of the best spots in the NRL outside Tommy Turbo. I just think job security is good enough. There's Vega there as well who could come in. I think Tommy Taliau can hold the spot. I like it.
Really interesting with Tommy Taliau. Like I was speaking to people at Manly last week and they all pretty much said he's been told he's a winger, not a centre. They took Vega to Vegas, but they didn't take Tommy Taliau.
Mm.
But he's come straight into the side. Interesting.
Interesting, yeah. Yeah,
but it's what I would have done as well. I just thought that was intriguing. Yeah.
So, look.
Like, they took Lehi Hopewade as well. Like, they took a heap of wingers named Tommy Taliau. Like, Jess Surges was over there as well. Like, it would have just made a heap of sense to take Tommy, I would have thought.
I could have sworn he was over there because she posted a date night.
And really?
Who would she have been on a date night with in Vegas if it's not Tommy Taliau?
Oh, I was under the impression he wasn't there. Okay.
He obviously didn't make the lineup for the actual game, but I'm pretty sure he was part of that wider squad that was there. But I could be wrong. I've been wrong before.
Yeah, I don't know. I spoke to Jess for 25 minutes. He wasn't there. But anyway, I don't know.
Anyway.
We'll see. Anyway, regardless.
He was named in the extended squad.
Hey, Kat, can we find a more mute point next week to talk about for 5 minutes? That was unreal. Both just shooting in the dark about whether Tommy Taliau went on a holiday last week or not. I love that.
Oh, gosh.
Heaps into it. All right. Are we done? Kat, what trades are you making this week? Are you going to pull the trigger on any?
I do have Lenny, so I need to solve that. But I can make a pretty quick switch to Terrell May. So I might be just doing that and then just putting an end to last week.
Yeah, I think it's – fuck, can you imagine if 6 weeks ago we would have been sitting here telling everyone that in week one the trade that will happen most will be a front row forward, bringing in a 400K front row forward.
Makes me so cool.
That comes off the bench for his team that's absolutely stacked in the forward pack.
It's gross.
It's wild. All right, we done?
We're done, mate.
All right, late show coming your way tonight. Stay tuned for that. It'll be a pretty short and sharp one, but brace yourself. SC Playbook podcast last night. What did we cover? Who do we have? What do we do?
Mate, we had a good look at those cheapies that have been named, the job security and buyer credentials of all of them. We also took a deep dive into that godforsaken front row forward position, talked about Tommy Flegler and Josh Kerr's absolute weight. A few other people have cropped up there. Adam DeRussi, Clementine Cassidy. Brought a bit of life to it. Her first appearance of the 2024 season, sixth place in 2021.
Mate, I swear, DeRussi, his days go for 34 hours. How does he have time to do all this stuff?
I have no idea. He's on the blower to Gus Gould and Serraldo before and after the show, and then he's running a gajillion-dollar company before and after. I'm just like, and I'm very grateful that he finds time for the SC Playbook podcast, but one of the great men ads.
Also in the description, if you want to join the Roo Crew Patreon, go and join that. That's where I had my team reveal last week. I'll be revealing my finalized trades every Thursday or Friday afternoon exclusively on there for you guys. So go and join that if you want to join the Roo Crew. We are good to go. Kat, anything before we hit the frog and toad?
All the Blue Wealth property links are in there too, so make sure to check everything out, join some webinars, have some fun.
Still time to jump in the unlimited league, not group, this year. Code is 339640, $6,000 up for grabs. You can jump in that for a few more weeks.
All right. Thanks for joining us once again, guys. Go get a webinar into you, you bunch of cowards.
Wait, before we end the episode, Timmy, why don't you tell everyone who topped our league?
I know, forgot to touch on that at the top of the show. A shout out, the Beers and Breakevens Unlimited League, number one league ranking. There's 11,000, almost 12,000 people in it. SC Playbook, number two, going toe-to-toe up there. winner of it this week, Red Rooster, coached by Richard with 1,179 points. Congratulations to Richard. We are getting to prizes and all that stuff in time, so we'll jot your name down, though, mate, and get that sorted later on. Congratulations, Roo. Now we're done.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.